ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். மௌனவியாக்கியா பிரகடித பரபிரம்ம தத்துவம் யுவானம் வர்ஷிஷ்டாந்தே வசதிருஷிகணைஹி ஆவ்ருதம் பிரம்மநிஷ்டைஹி. ஆச்சாரியேந்திரம் கரகலித சின்முத்ரமானந்த ரூபம் ஸ்வாத்மா ராமம் முதித வதனம் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி மீடே வடபிடபி சமீபே பூமிபாகே நிஷண்ணம் சகல முனிஜனானாம் ஞானதாதாரமாராது திரிபுவன குருமீஷம் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி தேவம் ஜனன மரண துக்கச்சேததக்ஷம் நமாமி. சித்திரம் வடதரோர்மூலே விருத்தா சிஷ்யா குரோர் யுவா குரோஸ்து மௌன வியாக்கியானம் சிஷ்யாஸ்து சின்ன சம்சயாஹ. வி சா அப் டு திஸ் இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் அண்ட் வி வில் கண்டினியூ வித் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் தியான ஸ்லோகா. வி வில் ரீட். நிதயே சர்வ வித்யானாம் பிஷஜே பவரோகிணாம் குரவே சர்வலோகானாம் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தையே நம. தட்சிணாமூர்த்தையே நம. அவர் ப்ராஸ்ட்ரேஷன்ஸ் டு லார்ட் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி. அண்ட் ஹூ இஸ் திஸ் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி? த்ரீ டிஸ்கிரிப்ஷன்ஸ் ஆர் கிவன் ஹியர். சர்வ வித்யானாம் நிதயே. நிதி, நிதிஹி மீன்ஸ் ரெபாசிட்டரி, அபோர்ட், ட்ரெஷர், ட்ரெஷர் ஹவுஸ். ஆஃப் வாட்? சர்வ வித்யானம், ஆல் பிரான்சஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட். நிதையே சர்வ வித்யானம் பிரைமரிலி போத் தி பராவித்யா அண்ட் அபராவித்யா. ஆல் தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் அட்டெண்டிங் தி கீதா லெக்சர்ஸ் வுட் பி வெரி ஃபெமிலியர் வித் தீஸ் டேர்ம்ஸ், பராவித்யா அண்ட் அபராவித்யா. அண்ட் எஸ்பெஷலி டு கெயின் த நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் வேதாந்தா, வி ரிக்வயர் செகண்டரி நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் சோ மெனி அதர் சயின்சஸ் ஆல்சோ. And they are all called Anga Vidyaha, other auxiliary sciences which one need to know to understand Vedanta in perspective. Like for example, a person taking physics major or chemistry major, whatever it is, he also has to take certain auxiliary subjects, maybe chemistry or mathematics, all that. So to understand one science, we require the knowledge and skill of other sciences, some other related sciences also. And that is why we have got Veda Angani or Veda Upangani, the subsidiary vidyas, Siksha, Kalpa, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chandas, Jyotisham. They are all called various auxiliary sciences which help us to understand Vedanta in perspective. And in all, like all other sciences, three of them are supposed to be very important to understand Vedanta. And let us take the first two to start with and add the third one later. The first two are called Pada Shastram and Tarka Shastram or Pramana Shastram. These are the two, first two knowledge one has to have to understand Vedanta. And Pada Shastram means the knowledge of the language, because the whole communication is based only on language. If the communication medium is English, for example, then English must be known very thoroughly, reasonably well at least, so that communication can take place effectively. Similarly, if it is in Sanskrit, Sanskrit should be known also. And so Shabda Shastram or Pada Shastram is the knowledge of the language. And the second one is called the Tarka Shastram or Pramana Shastram. That means logical thinking and analysis. If it is not there, it will be full of errors only, because the logical understanding won't be there, even if the communication may be there verbally. So the teacher also should have the knowledge of right thinking and also the right communication, and so also the student. So Tarka Shastra specializes in proper thinking, and these two should go together, because proper thinking alone has to be communicated through proper language. And what is happening actually in the class? Only thinking. Thinking only is happening. And the thought is symbolized in the form of sound, words. If, for example, if I think of something like a chair, then you cannot see what I think. If I want a chair to be brought, for example, then I should communicate that to you to bring a chair. So I should convert my thought about a chair to a language and then say, bring a chair, which are all only sound symbols of my thought. Now, if one of the two is improper, let us assume. For example, I want a chair, but my thinking is not proper. I don't know the word chair, but I know table. So even if my thinking is proper, but if the language is not proper, communication does not take place. And suppose language is wonderful, only thinking alone is a problem. Imagine that an erroneous thinking, that person can eloquently communicate. That is called Andha Parampara. Andha Parampara, you take for example Sankhya philosophy. All those philosophies, they are all what? They are all eloquently communicated wrong thinking or false thinking. So successful communication requires right thinking and appropriate transfer of that thought. So right thinking requires Tarkashastram, and appropriate transfer of that thought, communication requires Pada or Shabda Shastram, language. That is why in all Sanskrit grammar books, they write one shloka, Shabda Shastram Anaditya Ippumanu Vaktu Michyati Vachasabhantare Rottu Michyati Vane Madotkadam Hastinam Kamalanalam Tantuna. Hastinam Kamalanala Tantuna. Suppose Shabda Shastram Anaditya, without learning the language properly, Shabda Shastram Vaktu Michyati Vachaha Sabhantare. A person wants to give a discourse in an assembly of scholars, the Sabha, Vaktum Ichyati Sabhantare. He wants to give a discourse. Only problem is what? He doesn't know language properly. He has language problem only. And when such an attempt is made, it is like what the Shastra gives a beautiful example. Rodhum Ichyati Vane Madotkhatam. An example is given. A person wants to catch a wild elephant in a forest. And for that, what he is doing? He is taking a rope. And what that rope is made up of? You know, that is Kamala Nala Tantu. Kamala means lotus. Inside the stalk of the lotus, there is a very, very thin string. And he wants to take that string to tie down what? A wild elephant. By hearing this, what we normally get? We get only to laugh. And that is what is communicating with the proper skill of language without understanding the actual significance. So Pada Shastram is language and grammar, and Pramana or Tarka Shastram is logic. And finally, we have the third one called Mimamsa Shastra or Vakya Shastram, which is the special skill in interpreting the Vedas, the Shastras, or in general, the scriptural interpretation. All the scriptures, how to interpret them analytically. Just as, for example, a constitutional lawyer should have the special skill in interpreting the constitution. So this skill is important, particularly in Vedas. Because, as we said earlier, one Upanishad says, before creation, actually we gave this example earlier also. Before creation, one Upanishad says, there was only Sat. Sadaiva Saumya Gidamagra Asit. That's what said Chantokya Upanishad. And then Taittiriya Upanishad says was Asadva Gidamagra Asit. So one Upanishad says Sat was there. Another one says Asat was there. And there is one Nasadiya Sutta that says Nasadasi No Sadasit. And that says what? Nasat Nasit Nasat Asit. So when you hear this, these seemingly contradictory statements, which are many in Vedas, one cannot understand them properly at all. So one in place, in many places there are such contradictions at all. So Vidyaya Mokshaha, one place it says. And in another place also the Upanishad, the Shastra says Avidyaya Mokshaha. What we will do? It's very, very difficult to understand. So for these things, there is a special science called Mimamsa. Mimamsa Shastra. So these are the fundamental three sciences required to understand and interpret Vedanta. So which are the three? Shabda Shastra, Pramana Shastra or Tarka Shastra, and Mimamsa Shastra, the inquiry, the analysis. So even if you don't know the full details, at least the basics are important, they should be known. And an Acharya ஹூ இஸ் கில்ட் இன் ஆல் த த்ரீ ஹீஸ் கால்ட் வாட் பத வாக்கிய பிரமாண பாராவாரிணகா. பத வாக்கிய பிரமாண பாராவாரிணகா இஸ் அ டைட்டில் given to an acharya, which means what? He is an acharya who is skilled in these three basic sciences required for learning and communicating Vedanta. So paravara parinaha means he is expert, he is a master. And if the ordinary acharya, if he can be called a padavakya pramana paravara varinas, what to talk about Dakshinamurti, the adi acharya, the adi guru. He is the greatest padavakya pramana shastra nipunaha. He is the greatest expert in all of them. Therefore, Sarva Vidyanam. Nidaye Sarva Vidyanam. Sarva refers to all these three shastras and of course Vedanta Shastra also. So he is the repository, the abode of all this knowledge. And we have to remember that these are basic. And there are other shastras which are even more. If one knows all of them, more the merrier. Vedanta deals with so many psychological sciences also. Like Amanitvam. Gita says, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam. Amanitvam means being humble, humility. Amanitvam. Manitvam means being arrogant, the show. And Adambitvam, pridelessness. Dambitvam is pride, having lot of arrogance, pride, ego. This is Adambitvam. So the teacher must be a master of all psychology also. So that is the knowledge of the mind. Any psychology relates to the knowledge of the mind. Like what? We all have some knowledge of health. We all have knowledge of hygiene, medicine. So many things we have. We require some knowledge of the mind also. In addition to all these other secular knowledge, we also need to know, have some knowledge of the mind. Because mind is an instrument very regularly used, requiring what? Basic sound thinking. So, Sarva Vidya refers to all these sciences, includes all these sciences. So, Nidaye. Nidaye means the repository or treasure house of all knowledge. And then, Bhavaroginam Bishaje. Bishaje Bhavaroginam. Bishak. Bishak means a doctor, a physician, a Vaidyaha. In Sanskrit, it's called a Vaidyaha. So, Dakshinamurti is the greatest doctor. That is why one of the names for the Lord is what? Vaidyanathaha. He is Vaidyeshwara, Vaidyanathaha, and Dakshinamurti is Vaidyeshwaraha. He is the general physician of all kinds of disease he can cure. And he is a specialist in what field? This stotram says here, the specific field is called Bhava Rogaha. The disease of samsara. Bhava refers to samsara. He is the physician of the disease of samsara, which is caused by what? By a virus called Ajnanam. So, Ajnanam or ignorance is the virus that causes this Bhavaroga. And do we know what virus means? We all know computer virus, that virus, this virus. We hear this name very often. Virus actually means vital information resources under siege. Vital information resources under siege. Siege means suppression, not accessible. It's not accessible. Means what? Computer has information, but is not accessible. It is under the grip of what? Virus. So computer, that means, is ignorant. Even though information is there, it is not accessible. Means computer is ignorant. Similarly, the Ajnanam virus has suppressed the knowledge of ourselves. So Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam is suppressed by this virus of Ajnanam. And for that virus, we have an antivirus, and that antivirus is called Jnana. And so Dakshinamurti is the doctor who does, what is this called? Swamiji says he is ignorance-odectomy. He calls this, so that Dakshinamurti is an expert in removing this ignorance. So Bhavarogina, for the people of Bhavaroga, Bhavaha means samsara here. Bhavaroga. So why is it called samsara Bhavaha? Because punapunaha bhavati jayate iti bhavaha. Comes again and again. Bhavaha means janma, birth. So Bhavaroga means the disease called birth. And the birth includes also what? When we say birth, it automatically includes death also. So punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam is called Bhavaroga. Birth and death. And for those Bhavarogis, Bhishaje. Bhishaje, he is Bhishak, he is the doctor. Bhishaje is the fourth case. Actually, it is Jagaranta Pullingaha Bhishas Shabdaha. ஜகாராந்த புல்லிங்கம் ஆக்சுவலி இஸ் பிஷஜிம் பிஷஜௌ பிஷஜஹா பிஷஜம் பிஷஜௌ பிஷஜஹா பிஷஜாம் பிஷக்யாம் பிஷக்பிஹி பிஷஜே. சோ இட் இஸ் சதுர்த்தி விபக்தி பிஷஜே. இட் இஸ் நாட் லைக் டேக் த ராமசப்தா ராமே ராமயோஹோ ராமேஷு. இட் இஸ் செவன்த் விபக்தி. இட் இஸ் சப்தமி. Whereas Vishaje should not be read as what? Seventh Saptami Vibhakti, it should be said as, it should not be said as what? Akaranda Pullingaham, Vishaje Sabdaham, it should, as Saptami Vibhakti, it should be Vishaje. Here, Jagaranda Pullingaham, Vishaje, Chaturthi Vibhakti. Actually, it is for those people who are interested in interpreting this Sanskrit term. But we don't have to go into details of that here. And if one does not know, it is nice. It is really nice because here one occasion, ignorance would be really a bliss. Then Gurave Sarvalokanam. Sarvalokanam Gurave. Very, very simple. One who is the guru of all the worlds. Sarvalokanam. Three lokas. All the three lokas. So we said actually in the very first verse here, he is an unique guru for whom there is no guru. He is the guruless guru. So Sarvalokanam Guruho. He is guru of all, but Sishya to none. He is the guru for all, but Sishya to none. So, Satcha Dakshinamurti, Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. Namaskaram to Satcha Dakshinamurti. That is this Dhyana Shloka. Then we will read the next one. Om Nama Pranavarthaya Shuddha Jnanaika Murtaye Nirmalaya Prashantaya Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. Again, Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. And what type of Dakshinamurti he is? There are a lot of words which glorify that Dakshinamurti. He is Nirmalaya. Nirmalaya, one who is free from all impurities. There is no malam. Malam means impurity. Primary impurity is what? Ajnana, ignorance. And there is the next level of impurity that is called Ahankara or ego. And the next level of impurity is Punya Papa Karmas. And the other impurity is Sukha Dukha Phalam. So these are the four impurities. That is Ajnanam, Ahankara, Punya Papa Karma, and Sukha Dukha Phala. So these are the gradual impurities. Ajnanam leading to Ahankara, leading to Punya Papa Karma, leading to Sukha Dukha Phala. And all these four are called Mala. So he is Nirmalaya. Nirmalaya means one who is free from all this Ajnana, Ahankara, Punya Papa Karma, and Sukha Dukha, Sukha Dukhana. And Ahankara includes what? All the other malams like Manitvam, Dambitvam. Manitvam again is what? Manitvam we already just now said, you know, not being humble. And Dambitvam, to have all pride and so many things. And Himsa, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, all those things, all are impurities. They are all integrally connected to Ahankara. So Nirmalaya means he is pure. There is no impurity at all. And because he is pure, he is Prashantaya. When one is free from all these impurities only, then only he can be Prashantaha. Prashantaha means tranquil. A person who is relaxed without any tension. To that Dakshinamurti who is pure and tranquil, my namaskaras. Then we take up actually the first line now in this sloka. Om Nama Pranavarthaya. One who is the meaning of pranava. And what is pranava? Pranava is om. Om iti pranavasya arthaya. So the one who is the meaning of the word om, which is otherwise called pranavaha, pranavasya arthaha. And Dakshinamurti is said to be the meaning of pranava, both in his saguna aspect, saguna swarupam, and also in his nirguna swarupam. Pranava has actually two parts. One is the sound part of om. When you utter the word om, the sound part is one part. And the other part is the silence part, which is in the beginning and at the end. Before we utter the word, there is silence. And after uttering the word also, there is silence. So this is the second part. So that silence is also considered to be an integral part of the word om, pranava. And the sound part of the om, that corresponds to the saguna aspect of Dakshinamurti, and the silence part of om corresponds to the nirguna part of Dakshinamurti. Actually, this has been very elaborately analyzed in the Mandukya Upanishad, where the silence part is called amatra, matra and amatra. And the sound part of the word has got actually three components, namely akara, ukara, makara, iti, akara, ukara, and makara, a, u, and m. And these three components correspond to what? Three saguna aspects of Dakshinamurti. All these three correspond to three saguna aspects of Dakshinamurti. Actually, those people who have been attending Tattva Bodha lectures, I have dealt with elaborately on these three aspects, the Virat aspect, the Hiranyagarbha aspect, and the Ishvara aspect. So, Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara are the Antaryami. So, Akara refers to A, which is Virat Dakshinamurti. Ukara refers to U, the Hiranyagarbha Dakshinamurti, and Makara refers to M, the Antaryami Dakshinamurti. All these are again Saguna. So Virat Dakshinamurti has the Stula Guna, the grass qualities. Actually, I'm just only touching upon this here. We have dealt with in detail earlier. And in Hiranyagarbha Dakshinamurti has the Sukshma Gunas. So that is the Stula Gunas, the grass aspects, and Sukshma Guna, the subtle aspects. And Antaryami Dakshinamurti refers to the Karana Gunas, the subtlest of them. The Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram. So similar to this, the Stula Gunam, Sukshma Gunam, and Karana Gunam referred here as Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Antaryami. So Stulam, Sukshmam, Karana Yuktam, Saguna Dakshinamurti is revealed through A, U, and Im, or the sound part of Om. The Stula, Sukshma, and Karana Yukta Saguna Dakshinamurti. So actually we don't have to go into the elaborate thing of this Virat Hiranyagarbha here. At least this much is adequate to know here. And the silence part of Omkara, which comes before and after the utterance of Om, corresponds to the Nirguna Chaitanya, the Nirguna Chaitanya Rupa of Dakshinamurti. So Amatra, Amata Chaturtaham, Avyavaharyaha and Prapanchopashamaha. So Shantaha, Shivaha, Advaitaha, that Rupam of Dakshinamurti is called this Nirgunam, the Chaitanyam, Nirguna Chaitanyam of Dakshinamurti. That refers to the Dakshinamurti, Omkarasya, Artaha Dakshinamurti, referred by the silence part. So the sound part refers to Saguna Dakshinamurti and the silence part refers to Nirguna Dakshinamurti. And this Omkara is said to be Pranavaha because it is the ideal name of Dakshinamurti, the Lord. The word Pranavaha means what? Ideal name or appropriate name. Pranava refers to ideal name or appropriate name. Navaha, Navaha means Nama or name. And derived from the root Nu, Nu means to name. Nuyate, Abhidiyate, Anena, Iti, Navaha. So that word by which something is revealed, Abhidiyate, revealed, is called Navaha. And any name is called Navaha because any name reveals some object. Any name, even if you say table, it refers to the object table, so it is Navaha. And the prefix pra, pranavaha, in that prefix pra refers to proper. So pranavaha means proper name, proper nama. And what is that proper nama? Om. So Om is the proper, ideal, appropriate or exemplary name of Lord Dakshinamurti. And so Dakshinamurti is called Om Nama Pranavarthaya. My prostrations to Lord Dakshinamurti, who is the meaning of the word Om, which is the ideal name for him. That's what this means. And what is his original nature? Even though he has got Saguna Swarupam and Nirguna Swarupam, the Nirguna Swarupam is his real nature. Nirguna Swarupa means attributeless nature without any gunas. So where there are no properties at all, that is Nirguna Swarupam. So the Dakshinamurti form that we worship, it is not his real nature. When we go to the temples, we have this Dakshinamurti figure, that murti. That is not his real nature. It is his temporary nature only. We are using it for the sake of worship. That is not his real nature. The real Dakshinamurti is formless, colorless, tasteless, odorless. That is the Dakshinamurti without any attribute at all. So what is his real nature? Shuddha Jnana Eka Murtaye. சுத்த ஜானைக மூர்த்தையே, சுத்த ஜான ஏக மூர்த்தையே. சுத்த ஜானம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? பியூர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் விச் இஸ் நாட் மிக்ஸ்டு வித் எனிதிங் எல்ஸ். இட் இஸ் அன்அடல்ட்ரேட்டட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். த வேர்ட் ஞானம் மீன்ஸ் இயர் சைத்தன்யம் ஆர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் அண்ட் நாட் நாலெட்ஜ். அண்ட் ஹோ மெனி சச் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஆர் தேர்? ஏக்கம். தேர் இஸ் ஒன்லி ஒன் சார். ஸோ சுத்த ஜான ஏக மூர்த்தையே. ஸோ இட்ஸ் ஒன்லி ஒன். இட் இஸ் நான் டியூவல் அண்ட் பியூர் இஸ் சுத்த ஞான ஏக. ஸோ மூர்த்தி ஹி மீன்ஸ் ஹிஸ் ரியல் ஸ்வரூபம், தி நேச்சர் ஆர் ஸ்வரூபம். ஸோ ஏகம் சுத்த சைத்தன்யம் ஏவ மூர்த்தி ஹீம் ஸ்வரூபம் எஸ் எஸ் அகாம் சுத்த ஜான ஏக மூர்த்தி. தட் இஸ் வி ஷுட் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தட் வேர்ட். ஸோ தேர் ஆர் பியூட்டிஃபுல் காம்பவுண்ட் வேர்ட்ஸ். ஸோ ஹூஸ் நேச்சர் இஸ் பியூர் நான் டியூவல் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். ஸோ டு தட் சித்ரூபா தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி மை நமஸ்காரம். நம்ம பிரணவார்த்தாய தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி நம சுத்த ஜான ஏக மூர்த்தையே நம. தட் வி ஹவ் டு சப்ளை அகேன். ஸோ நிர்மலாய பிரசாந்தாய மூர்த்தி ஆர் சீ டு தட் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி மை நமஸ்காரம். ஸோ இன் த ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் டிஸ்கிரிப்ஷன் தி ஆத்தர் இஸ் கிவிங் அவுட் ஆக்சுவலி தி எசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் த உபனிஷத் ஹியர் பை தி ஸ்லோகாஸ் ஆஸ் வி செட் இன் இன்ட்ரொடக்ஷன் இட் செல்ஃப் வாட் போத் த தியான ஸ்லோகாஸ் அண்ட் த உபனிஷஸ் இட் இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி த சாஸ்திர ஆஃப் த உபனிஷத் ஒன்லி. And so we will get full impact of it if we study the Dakshinamurti Stotram after the study of Upanishads. It will be very, very helpful to study Dakshinamurti Stotram after study of. Otherwise, this should be taken perhaps as an introduction to the Upanishad. Either way, those who have not gone into at least one Upanishad, if they come to Dakshinamurti Stotram first, they can consider this as an introduction to Upanishad. Or those who have studied Upanishad, they can consider this as a summary of that study. So this should inspire perhaps one to study Upanishads if they have not studied it already. And the one should study them after completion, once again come back and read again Dakshinamurti Stotram. So Prashantaya, actually Mandukya Upanishad is, it is given here as Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam. That is the concept that is communicated here by tranquil. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam. To that Dakshinamurti, my namaskaras. Then we'll go to the next shloka. ஈஸ்வரோ குருராத்மேதி மூர்த்தி பேத விபாகினே வ்யோமவத் வ்யாப்த தேஹாய தட்சிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. ஹியர் தி ஆத்தர் சேஸ் தட் ஒன் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி ஹிம்செல்ஃப் இஸ் அப்பியரிங் இன் த ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் த்ரிபுடி, த்ரீ திங்ஸ், பிரமாதா, பிரமாணா அண்ட் பிரமேயா. இன் வேதாந்தா திஸ் ஆர் திஸ் ஆல் திஸ் த்ரிபுடி த்ரீ தி த்ரீ ஃபோல் அப்பியரன்சஸ் this pramata, pramana and prameya, the student, the pramata, the pramana, the teacher, and prameya, the thought, the subject matter. So these three factors are always involved. The student who is called pramata, or he is also called jnata, who wants to learn, who wants to know, so he is jnata. And the means of knowledge are the source of knowledge with the help of which the student learns. And that means what? The means of knowledge is called pramanam. The means of knowledge is called pramanam. And for a Vedantic student, who is the what is the means of or the source of knowledge? The teacher or the guru only is the means of the knowledge. So we may wonder then, how can we say guru is the source of knowledge? We say shastra pramanam is the source of knowledge. We say the scriptures only is the source of knowledge. And how we can change that the source of knowledge is the guru and not the shastras? To answer that, actually, the guru is not supposed to speak anything other than what is given in the shastra. He cannot say anything what he likes. So he should say only what is contained in the shastras. He only makes the inactive written shastric words, the words written in the shastras, into live communicative words. That's all he is doing. Whatever is written in the shastras, he makes them communicative through his words. Because the written shastraic words are not effective communicators at all. That is why when we read shastram, it does not communicate to us many things. But when the same words come from the mouth of a teacher, a traditional acharya, they become alive and capable of communicating to the student. That is the effect of the guru. And so guru means what? Shastram. Shastram made alive. We can call the guru as the shastram made alive. It is exactly like what? The cassette or a CD player becomes alive. The CD becomes alive by a player. You have a CD or a cassette tape, that is, it has a lot of information, but it is made alive by a cassette or CD player. The player does not produce music by itself. It just only brings out the music that is already in the cassette. That's what the guru does. He doesn't bring anything himself. He only brings what is already there in the scriptures. So similarly, guru, that's what he does. So when he makes the shastram alive by his teaching, he makes the teaching as much pramanam as the shastram. When he teaches exactly what is given in the shastram, he makes that is as much pramanam, his teaching as much pramanam as shastram. In fact, actually, he becomes even better pramanam than shastram because of his own communicative skills. He may communicate even better. So student is pramatha and the guru is pramana. And what is the subject matter here? Ishvara. Ishvara or Brahman is the subject matter. So Vedaischa Sarvai. So Ahameva Vedyaha, Vedanta Vithu. That's what Krishna said. So the subject matter of the Shastra is Ishvara or Paramatma, which is called Prameyam. So the Pramata is the student, Pramana is the Guru, and Prameya is Ishvara. And here the author says, Dakshinamurti alone is in the form of the student, means every one of us is Dakshinamurti only. Every one of us only Dakshinamurti. We may think it does not appear so. The Dakshinamurti that I am used to see in the temple looks very, very different than myself. How can I be Dakshinamurti? It is only, we are all Dakshinamurti, but we are all covered Dakshinamurti. The one who is covered, when sufficiently cleaned, perhaps this original Dakshinamurti might come out. We may need lot of detergents. Maybe something has to chisel us out, or lot of sandpaper to remove all the other things, disallow. Just as somebody, a beautiful Krishna, can be brought out from a stone by a sculptor. The rock is never worshipped. But when Krishna is brought out of the rock, he is worshipped. Similarly, every one of us is unsculptured Dakshinamurti only. So once the guru, with the help of Shastra, he chisels and removes all unwanted materials from this rock, every student will become a Dakshinamurti only. And the teacher also is supposed to be Dakshinamurti. And the subject matter revealed, taught also is Dakshinamurti. So this author says, Ishwaraha Guruhum Atma Iti Murti Bheda Vibhagine. O Dakshinamurti, you are appearing in threefold forms, Murti Bedaha, different forms. Vibhagine, you have divided yourself into three forms. Vibhagine. And what are those? Vyavaharika Drishtya, from the practical reality, in the relative world. So what are those? Ishwaraha, the Lord, the Prameyam, and Guru, the teacher, the Pramanam, and Atma, the Jivatma, the student, the Pramata. So it is the Pramatra, Pramana, Prameya, Triputihi. That alone is Dakshinamurti. So this Triputi, three aspects of Pramata, Pramana, and Prameya. So why should he do that? Why should Dakshinamurti do this? Perhaps he wants to have some fun, perhaps. Just like as we have in our dream, we ourselves become the Triputi. We ourselves become the Triputi during our dreams. We create objects ourselves and the instruments of knowledge also. And we interact with them, we transact with all of them during dream. In the same way, Dakshinamurti, he multiplies into Triputi, Triputi Dakshinamurti. So Murti Bhevda Vibhagine. Again, Vibhagine, Chaturthi Vibhakti, Vibhagin Shabdaha, Vibhagine, Vibhagibhyam, Vibhagibhyaha. Vibhaga means division. And Vibhagi means having the threefold divisions. So this is form of, so from the Vyavaharika Drishti, relative angle. But in the original nature, this Paramarthika Swarupam, the original nature of Dakshinamurti, he is neither Jiva, nor Ishvara, nor Shastram. All these things are only from the Vyavaharika angle, from the relative angle. So as we said earlier, na shastha, na shastram, na shishyo, na shiksha, na chattvam, na chaham, na chayam, prapanchaha, swarupava bodhom, vikalpava samishnuhom, tateko vasishtaha, shiva kevaloham. Shivaha kevaloham. So in his original nature, what is he? Vyomavatim vyapta dehaya. one who is in the form of all pervading nature. Yomavatu vyapta deha. Deha means what? The swarupam here. Deha refers to the swarupam here. One whose nature is all pervading consciousness. Whose nature is all pervading consciousness, like the akasha, the space. Vyomaha means akashaha. Vyomavati means like the space. And vyaptam. Vyaptam means all pervading. Dehaha. Dehaha literally means what? Body. In this context, it is swarupam, nature. So originally, Dakshinamurti is undivided consciousness. But from the Vyavaharika angle, from the relative angle, he puts the vesham, the guise of the student, the teacher, and God, Ishvara. So Vyomavatim Vyapta Dehaya, again, compound sentences, Bahupriyi. So Vyomavati Vyaptaha Dehaha Yasyasaha. So Tasmai Dakshinamurtaye. To that Dakshinamurti Namaha, my prostrations. So these are actually six Dhyana Shlokas selected here. But remember, different books give different Dhyana Shlokas, as we ourselves mentioned in the beginning. In some books, they have got Shivam, Shivakaram, Shantam, Shivatmanam, Shivottamam, Shivamarga, Pranayataram, but Pranatosmi, Sadashi. So that is one Shloka, somewhere it is given. In some other places also, the Shloka we saw earlier, Ankushta Tarjani Yoga Mudram, Vyajena, Dehinam. Shrutyartham Brahma Jiva Aityam Darshayanne Nova Chivaha. So there are so many other slokas that are given also for the Dhyana Shloka for Dakshinamurti. There is no rule which should be the actual Dhyana Shloka one should recite. So during Parayana, when people do Parayana of Dakshinamurti Stotram, even one of the Dhyana Shlokas are recited, that is fine, no problem at all, depending on one's time. So with this, the Dhyana Shlokas of Dakshinamurti Stotrams are over. So remember, we have to understand this. These shlokas are authored by various acharyas, not by one acharya. Actually, this is given by so many acharyas. And we will start with the actual Dakshinamurti Stotram given out by Shankaracharya from now on. So after this, the Dhyana Shlokas are over. Now let us read the first shloka of Dakshinamurti Stotram. I hope you all have this textbook. If you have not got, this is one thing you can buy. This is from the Chinmaya Mission Trust. This is a concise, like a cliff notes kind of a book, which has a lot of good information and very simple to read also. I have made use of this book very elaborately. Vishvam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantar gatam pashyan atmani mayaya bahurivodbhutam tata yatha nidrayam. Yes, sakshat kurute prabodha samaye svatmanamevadvayam tasmai shri guru murtaye namayidam shri dakshina murtaye. So there are 10 shlokas which Shankaracharya, in which he condenses the entire Upanishadic literature. Whatever is given in the Upanishad, condensed in 10 shlokas. So this is like a capsule version of all the Upanishads. And this is presented here more for remembering the Upanishadic teaching and for learning them also, after learning them. And one who has got, if one has not learned the Upanishad, at least through this, one can get exposed to the ideas and then go into a detailed study of the Upanishad. So a lot of ideas have been given from the Upanishads. And for the sake of assimilation of that teaching, we are supposed to dwell upon them. So we learn a lot from the Upanishads. So many ideas are given. They are stood all over the Upanishads. But to assimilate the teaching, one has to dwell on them all the time. And that process is called Nididhyasana. In Vedanta, in the primer, we have already discussed with that. Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasana. So for dwelling upon the essential features of the teaching of the Upanishads, if we have to go through all the Upanishads, that is going to be very, very difficult. At least the 10 major Upanishads, it would be very difficult. So one cannot find time for that. So Shankaracharya, he gives that in a capsule form for the sake of remembering the substance given in all those Upanishads. And this is the Nididhyasanam part. So for a student who has already done Shravanam and Mananam, so he will take, for example, the Acharya will take for granted several ideas from the Upanishad, as the student is already supposed to be familiar with them. So if you are not familiar, it doesn't matter. At least we will come to get exposed to them wherever that is, it is possible. I will briefly explain to them. Otherwise, I will refer you to Tattva Bodha lectures. Here also, we will try to make it to the extent possible, as I told earlier. At least Tattva Bodha text is a very good resource. And those who have not attended Tattva Bodha lectures, you may please download or listen to them in our site, svbf.org, under teaching. There is a separate title called Tattva Bodha. The entire series of lectures which were given, they are there. One can download and go through them. This is called Dakshinamurti Ashtakam also in some places, even though it has 10 verses. Perhaps the last two verses are not written by Adi Shankara. Maybe some later Acharya might have written, we don't know. But this is also called by that name. So while giving the essence of the Upanishad, Shankaracharya is offering the namaskarams also to Dakshinamurti. Even though his intent is to reveal the message of the Upanishads, the content of the Upanishads, he also in the process doing namaskaram to Dakshinamurti. So it has twofold purpose. One is teaching of the Upanishadic teaching, then with Vedanta, and also to offer namaskaram to the Lord. So a teaching value and a stotram value. That is why this is called stotra. Even though, as I told in the beginning, this is more Vedantic in its content, it is included as a stotram because the author offers namaskarams at the end of each stotram. Because of stotram value, in our tradition also, it is included in some families as a daily prayer. Many families use it as a daily prayer. So, for example, you don't find Atma Bodha or Tattva Bodha in daily prayers, in the daily prayers, because they are merely teaching. They are all Prakarana Granthas, which are merely teaching only. They are not included for daily prayers. Whereas Dakshinamurti Stotram, while being a teaching, it also serves as a prayer. So the fourth line of every shloka, except the last one, actually is the same in every shloka. It says, Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namayidam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. That is the last line of every shloka. So if we can just understand the meaning of this alone, so we can perhaps put ditto in every shloka so that we will know the meaning. Here the Acharya says, Tasmai Sri Dakshinamurtaye Idam Namaha. Tasmai Sri Dakshinamurtaye Idam Namaha. I am offering this prostration to that Lord Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurtaye. Who is the invisible God is not around me. That Lord is an invisible God who is not around me. But fortunately, for my blessing, that invisible Dakshinamurti is available for me in the form of my own visible Guru. So the invisible Dakshinamurti is available for me for my worship in the form of my Guru. So Guru Murtaye. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye. Every student looks upon his own Guru as the manifestation of Dakshinamurti himself. Shankaracharya also looks upon his Guru, Govinda Bhagavatpada Acharya, as a symbol and represents him and as a symbol representing Dakshinamurti. So the original Dakshinamurti is Paroksha Dakshinamurti. And my personal Guru is Pratyaksha Dakshinamurti. Paroksha Dakshinamurti and Pratyaksha Dakshinamurti. So Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Dakshinamurtaye, Mama Namaskara. So to that Dakshinamurti, who is the Paroksha Dakshinamurti and also Pratyaksha Dakshinamurti in the form of my Guru, to him my Namaskaras. This is the common line in all the slokas. Now, in the first three lines of every verse, Shankaracharya will summarize the Upanishad Saraha, the content of the Upanishad. Now, what is the Sara of the Upanishad? Atmajnanam. Atmajnanam is the content of all the Upanishads. The Upanishad wants to reveal my own real nature. That is Atmajnanam. What is my Swarupa? That is what the Upanishad wants to communicate all the time. And this itself shows what? That whatever knowledge I have of myself is not real knowledge. It's not my real nature. It is my own unreal nature only. It is not my real nature. So in the vision of the Upanishad, whatever we know of ourselves is our fake nature. It's not our real nature. Not the real I. Not the real capital I. So the biodata that we present proudly, when somebody asks who are you, we say I am so and so. This is my name. I am officer, I am manager, I am husband, I am wife, whatever it is. All those things, the Upanishad says, that we should not be presenting proudly at all. They are not something to be revealed as my real nature. There is another biodata about which one should be proud of. That alone we should be talking about. Not only that, by knowing the unreal nature of mind, I am not getting my any benefit at all. Upanishad says, by knowing your unreal nature, you don't get any benefit. And I am facing personal problems only in life because of that. The moment I associate myself with that fake nature, I only have problems all around. I become embodiment of problems only all the time. So the Upanishad says, by knowing your unreal nature, you have no benefit at all. On the other hand, by knowing your real nature, you will have moksha. You will have liberation. So this is how the Upanishad introduces the self-knowledge subject here. Now, you know your fake nature. That knowledge does not help you. I shall teach you your real nature. That will help you. That is what the approach of the Upanishads. Same thing with Acharya also here. So this also we find everywhere in Chandogya Upanishad, where actually in 7th chapter it seems, there is one particular section called Bhuma Vidya. Narada Muni, he approaches his guru, Sanat Kumara, and says, I have got all types of knowledge, except one knowledge. Self-knowledge I don't have. All other knowledge, I am a Nipunaha in all other knowledge. Soham Bhagavaham Mantravide Vasmi Na Atmavite. I have got all the knowledge of all the Shastras, but I do not have self-knowledge. Other than that, I have got all the knowledge. So many other branches. Like some people, after their name, they have got so many titles. They will have so many alphabetic letters going. I have seen people write, having visiting cards, running to several pages. This is just only a visiting card. They have given me a folder of visiting cards, giving all the titles. Of course, something to be very proud of, that's true. But Dakshinamurti Stotra Upanishad says, even though you have got that, that's fine, but that is not your real nature. So even though I have all the knowledge, I am a miserably educated person only. That's what Narada says to Sanat Kumara. Even though I have all the knowledge, I am a miserably educated person. Miserably educated person. Previously, I was miserably illiterate. Now I am a miserable literate. So my misery, I can eloquently describe now because I am literate. Because I am a literate, I can express my ignorance very eloquently because of my literacy. So the literacy has helped me in eloquently describing my samsara only. That is all the difference between an illiterate samsari and a literate samsari. Both are only samsaris. So I will say my depression, which the illiterate man, he does not know actually. Similarly, I know other such names also. I can call it depression, anxiety, all those things. I have got so many names to describe because I am very knowledgeable about those names, but I am still a miserable literate only. So thereafter, Sanat Kumara teaches Narada, what is the nature of Atma? So all the Upanishads are dealing with Atma Jnanam only. So the essence of Dakshinamurti Stotram is what? Atma Swarupa. So all the 10 verses of Dakshinamurti Stotram deal with only one subject, Atma Swarupam, as is the content of all the Upanishads. So who am I really? That is what is expounded. We should not also stop with who am I. Then one can have a very long answer. But who am I really? Swamiji says, not just only don't ask the question, who am I, and stop. You ask the question, who am I really? And in all these stotrams, Shankaracharya reveals, as said in the Upanishad only, that Atma is of the nature of Chaitanyam. Chaitanya Swarupaha Atma. So Atma is the nature of consciousness, Chaitanyam, which makes this body sentient, makes this body active, live. It makes life and activity, life. This sentient nature of this body is given by that Chaitanyam. So my real nature is consciousness, which makes the body sentient. That is the knowledge that is given. So we miss the real nature of consciousness because it is an invisible principle. That is the fundamental reason. We miss that because it is invisible. Like when we look at a fan, for example, we state that the fan is rotating. and giving me breeze. That's what we say. We only perceive, refer, and recognize the fan only. But really speaking, we know that fan cannot rotate by itself. If it can, how nice it will be. We won't have any power problem at all. We know that behind the fan, there is an invisible principle which is intimately associated with the fan because of whose presence alone the fan rotates. The fan is fanning. That is called electricity. So even though I am looking at only one factor, actually there are two factors, the visible factor, the fan, and the invisible factor, the electricity. So the invisible electricity only is making a fan a fan. In the same way, behind the body, there is a principle called consciousness or chaitanyam. That invisible consciousness alone makes this body sentient. And then we have to remember the 5 points from Tattva Bodha that we already said earlier. We will just only touch upon here. The consciousness is not a part or a product or property of the body, just as the electricity is not a part, product, or property of the fan. Actually, these all have been summarized in the Tattva Bodha notes, if people want to, you know, have a look at them. And the second one is consciousness is a separate entity which pervades and enlivens the body, just as the electricity is a separate principle which pervades and enlivens, makes the fan rotate, active. And the third aspect is the invisible consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. That is another big thing one should know. Just as the electricity is not limited by the boundaries of the fan, but is beyond the fan also, throughout the wire, throughout the cable, everywhere. And the fourth aspect is that invisible consciousness survives even after the destruction of the body. These are all things, very fundamental things we should know. Just as the electricity survives even when the bulb is fused, or when the fan becomes defective, electricity still survives. If you have any doubt, we can put our finger maybe in an outlet and see. And the fifth aspect is the invisible consciousness is not recognizable when the medium of the body is absent. Not because consciousness is absent, but the medium of manifestation is absent. So these are all 5 aspects which we have to know fundamentally when we talk about consciousness or chaitanyam. So just as even when the chaitanyam is my real nature, and that is called Atma. This chaitanyam is a real nature. And to recognize this consciousness, the Atma, the real I, the scriptures give us a methodology also. So this has been very precise. At this moment, we don't recognize this consciousness as Atma. We have taken this body as ourselves. We have wound up the body as ourselves instead of wounding up the consciousness. That is, we have to switch over our I from the body, which is the fake I, to the real I, the Atma. And to help us shift the vision from the body to consciousness, that is from the Anatma, people may be familiar with the term Anatma, again from our Tattva Bodha lectures, to Atma, the Upanishads give us a technique or methodology that is called Drik Drishya Vivekaha. This is a technique in Vedanta called Drik Drishya Vivekaha. And what is this Drik Drishya Viveka? I am different from whatever I experience. It's a very, very fundamental law of Vedanta and very, very useful for Nididhyasana. Once a person goes through Shravanam and Mananam, before he goes to Nididhyasanam, this is a good concept to know. I am different from whatever I experience. I am experiencing this building and I am different from this building. I am experiencing this hall. I am different from this hall. In general, the whole world I am experiencing. The world comes under what? The experienced object only. And I am the experiencer, the subject. So what is our exercise actually? Go on dismissing everything that we see and experience as an object different from us. You should go on doing that. And generally, dismissing the world as an object will be very easy because it is different from me, we all know. I am not the building I know, I am not the hall, I am not the car, any of those things I know, I am not. Because we don't have any such doubts at all. Because if we know that I am different from all of them, I cannot say, you know, cut off my finger or cut off my hair. So if you dismiss all of them, then Vedanta says you come to the body. You dismiss all other external objects of the world and then come to your own body. And this body also is an object of experience only. Like the world, this body also is an object of experience, because I experience the conditions of the body. What are the conditions of the body? I experience its pain. I experience disease, that I have a knee joint, you know, pain all the time, especially when we sit in the class for a long time. So all those things are, so after 30 minutes, we know we have to change our steps this way, that way, lean forward, backward. So all those things we know, they are all experiences of the body. I experience all of them. So even in English, actually, what is its name? Actually, that's a beautiful thing. Me, non-illai. That's what in Tamil we say, me, non-illai, it's me. So therefore, the body also is an intimate object of experience. Therefore, I am not the body also. But what is our habitual thinking right from childhood? We have been always associated with the body only. So similarly, the mind also. We don't want to spend too much time only on this, because it's an object of experience. I intimately know my emotions. I know my knowledge. I know what I know. I know what I don't know also. They are all what? Experiences. In fact, if any class has to take place, the condition is what? The student should know that he does not know the subject matter. Then only he is going to come to the class. He should know at least that much. And the teacher, to be a teacher, what he should know? That he knows the subject matter. Then only he can come and teach. If he doesn't know the subject matter, he should not teach. So to come and sit here also, not only I should know Vedanta, but I should know that I know Vedanta also. So that knowledge that I know also should be there. Similarly, a student can be a student only when he knows his ignorance. Guru knows his knowledge, student knows his ignorance, then only the transaction can happen. So even ignorance and knowledge are properties of the mind only. To be experienced, that is experienced by me. And so I am not the mind, I am not the world, I am not the body. All these things are experiences. Then who am I? If one goes on negating all of them, who am I? I am different from all these. And I can know this much now. I am different from all these. That I must be conscious, a conscious principle, because I am experiencing them. I know I am not all of them, but I should be a conscious principle because I am experiencing them. So the experiencer cannot be inert. He should be a Chetana Tattvam. He cannot be a Chetana Tattvam. He should be Chetana Tattvam. So all these are foundations for this first stotra. We are going through all this because these are, so we don't, let us not think that I am digressing, going out somewhere and trying to say so many other things. No, they all are fundamentals that should be known before we approach the first sotra. So if I am not prepared for all these, I cannot be even reading the first sotra. So all these concepts are kept in mind by Shankaracharya when he writes the first sotra. And he perhaps assumes that we are all experts in all this. So the entire anatma consists of these three factors. What are those? The world, the body, and mind. Consists of all these three. So anatma means what? Objects. So the entire object or anatma consists of three factors: world, body, and mind. And I, the atma, the observer, consists of the conscious principle that is called Chaitanyam. And therefore, what is the first lesson we learned? Aham, atma, Chaitanyam, asmi. That is the first lesson. And anatma, idam, jadam, asmi. So this anatma is inert matter. And I am Atma Chaitanya. And what is the nature of Anatma? Jada. It is inert. And that is why the body comes from the matter world. And at death, the body will go back to the matter world. We have seen all these concepts earlier. So it comes from the earth, from Panjabhutas, and goes back to earth. Again, Panchabhutas. So this body also is part of the objective material universe. And who am I? I am the Chaitanyam, the Atma. So up to this is taken for granted by Shankaracharya. When the first shloka is written, he takes it for granted that we all know up to this. Now, in the first stotra, the subject matter is what? What is the relationship between the I, the Atma, the conscious principle, and the entire universe, the inert matter? So Atma, Anatma, Sambandha is the subject matter of the first verse, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yaparasamaheshwaraha Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Now we can open it for